So there are many different types of meditation. Anyone who goes to explore it will realize that every spiritual tradition, religious tradition, culture in the world over thousands of years has developed their own rituals, their own meditative practices. And I've taken a look at all of those, all that I've read, and I've done my best to try and break them down into different categories so that it's easier for us to understand their purpose and how to perform them. And to also increase our respect and appreciation of the fact that they're so similar and that our goal is so common to one another. The five that I've come up with are concentration-based meditations. These are what people are most familiar with. They involve choosing the single thing to pay attention to and doing your best to give that all of your attention. So the breath is a common example. And every time you notice your mind wandering, you're bringing that attention back again to that single point of focus. Of course, this is really difficult. Most people find this challenging. A minority find it easy and relaxing. Yes, those people exist. I am not one of those people. There are other ways of meditating that other people may find a bit easier, which we will discuss. But concentration-based meditation that let's concentrate on one thing and keep our focus there is what we see in movies, what we hear most about in books. So it's very popular, and it's also probably the most well-studied meditation in the West in terms of how it benefits the body, reduces stress, improves sleep, all those things. And if you've listened to my episode on the misconceptions of meditation, then you'll know that part of this relaxation comes from simply not thinking about your problems during the meditative practice. So by just taking your attention away from thoughts, and thoughts are what give rise to emotions, that you get a break from those feelings, from those concerns. So that's part of how the meditative practice induces relaxation. So another type of meditation we can practice is mindfulness-based meditation. And the way I think of this is that instead of choosing a single thing to pay attention to, you're broadening awareness to become aware of everything you can. So there may be many sounds, for example, all around you, to the left, to the right, in front and behind, quiet, loud. And when you practice mindfulness, you're choosing to be aware of everything all at once. So you never allow your attention to hone in on a single sound, like music that would be playing. You remain aware of the buzzing of electronics and the sound of your breath. And the purpose of this meditation, or the goal, is to practice equanimity. So equanimity meaning giving equal attention to all the things that you're aware of. And this is really powerful because it cultivates non-reactivity. There are things you may like or not like, but you're reacting to what you hear and see and feel in the body. You're responding to thoughts that you're having. But every time you notice a reaction in yourself, a desire to pay attention or not pay attention to something that you like or dislike it, you remind yourself, but it's already here, and my liking or disliking isn't changing it. It's not making it go away. It's not getting it to come or go. And I want to make peace with it. I want to accept its presence. I want to cultivate a friendliness, a welcoming attitude to what is here, around me, within me, so that I can work with it and rather than against it. So when you cultivate this non-reactivity, what does it, well, first, what does this really look like? It means continuous relaxation. And that's something that we do in concentration-based meditation too, of course. Is anytime we notice tension in the body, in the heart or mind, we imagine softening and relaxing and becoming gentle with it. So the idea in meditation, regardless of the practice, is always non-resistance. So recognizing when there is resistance or judgment and trying to soften the body, soften the thoughts, become more friendly and gentle with whatever's happening. But in mindfulness practice, this is especially important when we're practicing equanimity like that. So we're not focusing on any single thing. We're becoming more and more aware of all the things around us, within us. And I'll talk more about how to practice each of these meditations more specifically and some details that help. But right now, I just want to outline the different practices available to us. So the other type of meditation is the cultivation of positive feelings. And in these meditations, you're choosing a positive word or quality, like patience or kindness or love, compassion, anything you want that you find positive. And you're using maybe your memories, your imagination. You're just using words. You might be reading, doing anything you can or want that's going to generate that feeling for you now. And this meditation requires you having some awareness of the body. I think all meditations really do. They require you fostering awareness of the body because the body is a mirror of your feelings. It is reflecting what is really going on in your mind. When you believe a thought and it generates emotion, that emotion is felt in the body. Changes happen in the body or around the body. So sensations of lightness, heaviness, tension, relaxation. So when we're generating positive feelings, we're trying to create that pleasant feeling through our thoughts and imagination. And then the more the feeling comes to us, the more we concentrate on that as a sensation, as an idea. And we slowly take away the attachment to the thoughts, to the memory. So we stop thinking to ourselves, this pleasant feeling's being caused by the person I'm thinking about. This love is not being caused by the person I'm thinking about. It's being caused by me and the thoughts I'm having now. So that's an important part of cultivating positive feelings, is that the ultimate goal is to create unconditional positive feelings. Feelings that we don't need a reason to feel. So there's no story behind them. Like, I'm deserving to feel brave or happy or content because I've done such and such a thing is happening in my life right now. So therefore, that's a good reason for me to feel satisfied or happy. So we want to move away from reasons, away from all conditions. The purpose of the practice is to become familiar physiologically and mentally with that positive feeling, how it feels, and the thoughts and behavior that that feeling leads to. And the more often that we do that, the more strongly we can make that feeling, the longer we can stay with it, the more spontaneous and natural that feeling becomes for us, and the more likely it's going to arise in our day-to-day life. So again, that's something I will talk about in detail later, just introducing the idea to you now. Another practice is the exploration of negative feelings. So in this practice, you are either remembering a past experience or scanning the body and noticing some negative thought or emotion. And rather than distract yourself from that and give in to the desire to feel better and avoid feeling bad, you actually concentrate on those negative feelings and thoughts and relax at the same time. So what this is doing is changing your relationship to those thoughts, feelings, and sensations so that you can perceive them as less threatening, become more curious, and that your window of tolerance for experiencing them increases. You become less reactive. So even in the presence of these negative thoughts or feelings and sensations, you don't feel compelled to act in ways to get rid of them. There's the patience that arises. So the only example that I have that I feel is effective for describing this process is the analogy of a cold shower. So when you turn on the cold water and you think of getting in, you're probably really reticent. You're like, oh God, no, I don't want to do it, because you know it's uncomfortable. And maybe some tension begins to form in your body. You're already kind of hunching over, your muscles grow tight. And when you first step in, you breathe really rapidly, or you're holding your breath and you're shivering and you're hunched over and you're trying to be quick about it and just get in and out as soon as possible. Well, this is the attitude we often take with negative thoughts and emotions. We don't really like to be there. We often want to get out of it, fix it. And we want to realize, of course, is that the cold water is not really hurting us. It's uncomfortable, and we may not like the way it feels, but we're not getting frostbite in the shower. It's not damaging our bodies. And the shivering, the resistance, the hunching, the shallow breath, the rapid breath is making things worse. It hurts. It really hurts. So what you do in with a cold shower is that you practice breathing deeply. You do those deep, long breaths. And as you do that, you try and still the shivers, try to calm yourself, remind yourself it's just a feeling and it cannot really hurt you, that you're okay. So you're sending yourself this new message, mentally and physically, by stilling the body and saying these things that create this new relationship, that I don't need to fear these feelings. They are mere sensations. And so this is what we do with the exploration of negative thoughts and emotions. It allows us to sit in the anger and relax the body as it grows tense. We grow tense with anger, relax the body. We keep the memory of what's upsetting us in mind, and we keep changing our response to that thought, to that memory, so that we're more calm, more relaxed, more patient. That is when curiosity can arise, and that's what ultimately lets us explore the deeper causes of those negative thoughts and emotions. Once we're calm enough there in their presence that we can ask ourselves, what thoughts or beliefs do I have that contribute to the arising of this feeling? What conditions in my mind have created the potential for me to feel this way? So I won't go into all the questions we might use because we could explore this meditation in another episode. But one of the things you might ask is, when was the first time I felt this way? Have I felt this way before? What did I want in this situation that I didn't get? What was I hoping to feel that I didn't get to feel? These are all questions that take us away from the superficial situation, the superficial events of what we feel is upsetting us, and turn our attention to the deeper causes that are within our mind. So this meditation helps us heal from trauma, transform our negative and unwanted mental, emotional, and behavioral patterns. It's very powerful, but there's also a risk to it, is that if you're not experienced with meditation in how to cultivate positive feelings or concentrate on the breath, is if you were to jump into this and start remembering things that upset you, you won't have that objective view of your thoughts as mere phenomena to be questioned or observed. You'll believe all the thoughts that you're having, dig yourself deeper into the story of why you feel bad and why it's justified, and possibly lead yourself to feeling worse. You're going to familiarize your body and mind with negative thoughts and feelings. So it is possible for this meditation to go wrong, you could say. So it's important that you have some experience and know when I'm getting overwhelmed and I need to stop, and to have the tools to navigate this field. So obviously something like counseling or seeing a therapist, that's part of what their job is to help guide you to those negative thoughts and feelings, help you sit in them by creating that safe space for you. And also their role is partly to recognize when you may be overwhelmed so that they can help control the pace for you and give you tools for when that happens, for when you feel overwhelmed. So keep that in mind. The last type of meditation I want to mention is the contemplation or exploration of self, of identity, of consciousness, of God, whatever you would want to call it, the nature of things. This is an exploration of what is real, what is imagined, what makes something real, what is objective, what is subjective. Are time and space created by the mind, or are they experienced by the mind as objective things? These are lots of questions that seem perhaps impractical at first, but it's really all coming down to our sense of self. We are at the center of our life. There's no moment in which we are not here. So understanding what we are is important. And this is a meditation also on permanence and impermanence, which is something you may be familiar with. It's something often talked about in Buddhism, that what is permanent? Is there anything that's permanent? Are not all things impermanent? Don't thoughts and feelings and sensations and events and circumstances come and go and constantly change? Yes, they do. And there's always someone or something that's there aware of that, aware of the change, aware of the thoughts and feelings, that's experiencing them. And that is the nature of self. But these meditations are more about exploring what we're not. So realizing I am not what is impermanent, because I am still there when they come and go. So when you're in meditation and you have thoughts or you don't have thoughts, you're still there. When you have a feeling or don't have a feeling, you're still there. When you're aware of the body or not aware of the body, you're still there. So this is helping you to understand that the nature of self is not those things, that it's something else. So that's a big conversation, which we're not going to get into. And like I said, it can be hard at first to understand how practical that is and what benefit it leads to. But really, the essence of this meditation is to realize what we are not, to better understand what we are, that will make us less vulnerable to fear and to disappointment, that will help us understand the potential of mind, the potential of consciousness and of creativity. So those are the five types of meditation that one might practice. And I believe all the meditations in the world you may come across will probably fall into one of those categories, if not multiple ones. And so knowing when to choose which to practice and how to practice them are some important tools to have in your kit on your journey of healing and self-development. I hope that gives some context to you about what meditation can be done, can be used for, and maybe give you a sense of what you want to explore. And we'll explore all those things in detail in another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye.